Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
It's 16 degrees on Friends Plaza in Urbana this morning, and you're listening to Morning Edition here on AM 580. It's 8:50 and time now for our pre-opening commodity market report. And sitting in for Dave Dickey this morning is Jay Pierce. Hi, Jay.
Hey, good morning, Dan. Thank you very much. Good morning, everyone. The cash hog prices in the Midwest direct markets are called fully steady to as much as a dollar per hundredweight higher in improved buying interest. Livestock dealers and market managers say that although hog supplies are still large overall, the numbers of animals available are down slightly from previous weeks, which is resulting in more competition among processors. Terminal markets are called steady to firm, with tops in the range of 26 to 33.50 per hundredweight on a live basis. Peoria, steady to firm at $26 even. In the Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Hog Report for Tuesday, negotiated swine purchases were $15,899. For the base market hog on a 185-pound carcass basis, the base price range was $40 to $49.50, weighted average $46.95, a gain of 60 cents from Monday. On a live basis, Barrows and Gilt sold from $29.02 to $38 even. The weighted average was $36.20. For the Western Daily Direct Hog Report, negotiated swine purchases were $22,844. The base price range was $39.25 to $55. And the weighted average was $51.41. That was a gain of $2.19 from Monday. On a live basis, Barrows and Gilt sold from $30.84 to $40, and the weighted average was $38.71. Just a moment. We'll come back and, in a few minutes, actually, we'll come back and take a look at the overnight trade and talk things over with somebody from Strategic Farm Marketing and get their opening call. But first, AM 580 meteorologist Ed Kieser joins us for a look at today's agricultural weather. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, and last night I was at an Ag Outlook meeting in Terre Haute, Indiana. Got a lot of great questions, and good to get out, and I don't get out a whole lot. I know we have another one coming up in Kokomo, Indiana next month, and that one I'll be a part of, and look forward to talking about the weather some more. One thing I talked about last night was of course, you're getting a lot of questions about the summer weather. And, of course, anybody that's listened to this station for a long time knows the reality of the situation is there's no way that an accurate weather forecast can be made that far in advance, and especially when you get into the details and nuances. But this is a time of year when a lot of stories are put out in agricultural publications about the upcoming season, and usually the stories regard some potential disaster on the way. And of course, every year there's the potential for problems or even an agricultural disaster, but many years that doesn't happen. Almost every year there's drought in at least a small part of the Midwest, but rarely do we have a drought over the entire area, as there's quite a bit of variability in the weather and growing conditions. I can tell you this, going into this upcoming season, it does look like we're going to have, similar to last year, plentiful soil moisture in many areas. We've already seen some places get a lot of rain, in fact, too much rain. The concerns continue about flooding on a lot of the river systems. There's flooding now, and the question is, will there still be flooding once we get into spring planting? And that's very possible, especially if we get more snow between now and then, and that melts, and the weather pattern stays as what we see setting up for the first week of February, which is a southwest to northeast flow in the upper atmosphere. So we're going to turn milder, and the storm track is going to be pretty much through the Midwest. So some systems may track a little farther south than others, and the farther south systems will bring more areas snow than rain, and when they go a little farther north, the snow area is pushed off to the northwest. But it does look like a parade of rather wet weather systems coming through during at least the first week of February. So we are going to be probably turning wetter and a bit milder again after one more surge of cold air. So one thing we can say going into the growing season, it doesn't look like we're going to be lacking subsoil moisture yet again, even though we had some dry periods in the fall. It's been rather wet since then, especially by winter standards, which is typically the driest part of the year. So it looks similar to last year. Now, we've heard talks about La Nina causing drought, and there's no correlation to that at all. And any publication you see that says because we have a La Nina, colder than average water temperatures in the Pacific Ocean right now, means that we're going to have a drought this summer, there's just nothing to be believed by that. In fact, some of the people that are saying that said that we were going to have a drought last year because of El Nino. And El Nino and La Nina really don't correlate all that well to the weather in the Midwest during the summer. Some have said, whoa, this looks like 1988 because there was a La Nina. Yeah, La Nina started during 1988. So that would mean that this year or last year would have been more similar to 1988 in terms of El Nino, La Nina than this year. So there's no correlation there either. Bottom line is you got to use caution with any long-range prediction, and most of what you hear at this time of year is just going to be a disaster anyway, because that's what makes news headlines. That's what gets the press. That's what attracts attention. Now, as far as the weather in the southern hemisphere, it looks like far southern Brazil and eastern Argentina are areas that have been dry of late and may continue to be dry, but in the western growing areas of Argentina, rain has picked up, so the big production state of Cordoba, parts of La Pampa even, and then on northward, they've been getting some rain. The central growing areas of Brazil have gotten quite a bit of rain of late and will be getting more as well. So most of the South American production areas are doing well. But we have some concerns in southern Rio Grande do Sul, also in the far northeastern part of Brazil around Bahia, and also parts of eastern Argentina, including Buenos Aires. Those are the areas to watch. That's the growing areas. I'm Ed Kieser.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson's team of experts and strategic consulting approach utilize the latest technology. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
Overnight in Kansas City, March wheat opened at 9.85, up a quarter on the open, up 3.25 in the last trade. May at 9.94 3/4, down a quarter on the open, up 3 and make that 8 3/4 on the last trade. The March spring wheat opened at 12.16, down 3 and up 15 on the last trade. May opened unchanged at 11.58 and was up 2.5 on the last trade in Chicago. March wheat, 9.35, that was up 1, and it was up 3 on the last trade. May open at 9.49, unchanged, and up 4 on the last trade. July at 8.68 3/4, was down 22 in the last trade and 17 3/4 on the last trade. 22 on the open, that is. And September at 8.80 was up 3 and up 11. December up 3 1/4 at 8.91 1/4 on the open, and up 3 on the last trade. March corn, 4.87 3/4, down 1 1/4 on the open, down 4 3/4 in the last trade. May at 4.99 3/4, down 1.5 and down 5. The July contract, 5.08 1/4, down 1 3/4 on the open, down 2 1/4 in the last trade. September at 5.04 3/4, make that 5.03 1/4 on the open, down 1.5. It was down 4 3/4 on the last trade. In December 08, at 5.02 3/4 on the open, it was down 1.5, down 4 in the last trade. March soybeans, 12.38, down 1.5 on the open, up 0.5 on the last trade. May at 12.52, down 5 on the open, up 1 on the last trade. July at 12.69 3/4, down 1 on the open. It was up 3/4 on the last trade. And the August contract, 12.63, down 3.5 on the open, up 6 in the last trade. November soybeans, 12.12 1/2, down 5 on the open, down 2 1/4 in the last trade. The March soybean meal opened at 3.37, up 10, unchanged on the last trade. May opened down 10 at 3.42.90, and it was down 1 on the last trade. And the March soybean oil contract at 51.77 opened up 9 and closed down 8. The May contract for soybean oil opened at 52.35, unchanged, down 15 on the last trade. Chris Corum joins us now from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign. Chris, good morning to you.
Howdy, how are you, Dave?
I'm not doing too bad. And, well, other than being freezing and getting ready for another cold spell, but looking at those overnight numbers, what did you see in them?
Well, everything, it was kind of traded sideways, corn and beans, and corn broke late, down 4 to 5, and I think probably the call is going to do the same thing. Yesterday was a pretty wild ride. Your 401k took a big hit, I'm sure, right out of the chute, but you know, the Dow fought back a little bit, and you know, the Feds came in and tried to save us a little bit. But I'm interested to see, you know, how these security things and markets are going to, how the equity markets are going to affect the traders. Really interested to see which way they go. I think that we still have all the same issues. We're still trying to buy acres, and the equity problems in the equity markets don't buy acres. You know, our exports are still really strong, and you know, I don't think we're going to have much of a carryover, you know, in this crop that we've got here. So I'm interested to see how they all react. So I would look for things. I thought it was interesting. Wheat, we had a big, you know, I think 500 contracts right at the close yesterday, and the pit went up 30 cents on July wheat, and it ended up closing at 12 higher, and then overnight took it down 17. So everything else, I think it's just going to be just feeling its way around and trying to check out. I don't think we'll have anything too wild in the markets today.
Okay, so some opening call.
Opening call, I would look for corn to you know, be unchanged and maybe 1 to 2 higher, possibly. I would look for beans to be, you know, just to pretty much be neutral today, maybe 1 to 2 higher. And wheat, I would look for it to possibly be down a couple cents. So.
All right, Chris, have yourself a good day and stay warm.
All right, thanks.
All right, Chris Gorham from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign joining us on the pre-opening commodity market report. I'm Jay Pearson for Dave Dickey. We'll be back with the opening numbers at 9:50 Central Time. This is WILL Urbana. It's a little late, but we'll get to the BBC News now here on AM 580.